Let's open together to Mark chapter 8. Mark, the 8th chapter. Begin by reading verses 31, 32, and 33 of Mark chapter 8. And he, that is Jesus, began to teach them, his disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. How often have we at one time or another had to say, I didn't mean to say that. Or, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And we often say that after we observe the impact of what we had unintentionally said or done. Years ago, here at the church, Benjamin was assigned to use the blower outside to blow the grass off after somebody had mowed the lawn. It was when he was younger, and he went out there and put gas in the blower and did his work, and the blower didn't seem to work very well, and that was all right. It worked for him, and then Dave came in, I think it was the next week, and used it, and the motor froze up. What Benjamin had unintentionally done was put straight gas in it without mixing the oil. That's why Larry has written all over the gas can, oil, oil, blower, 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 you can't miss it. Unwittingly, unintentionally doing something that had consequences that he never intended. How many times do we as Christians, perhaps by being ignorant, can become an unwitting, that is, unintentional agent of Satan? We don't intend to do this. Peter didn't intend to say something that made him an agent of Satan, and yet that's what Jesus said, Get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't intend that. And so it causes me to think, how many times do we say something, do something, pray something that makes us an unwitting agent of Satan? Look at the first part of verse 32. Jesus spake that saying openly, that is publicly. All the disciples with him heard him. But notice in the last part of verse 32 what Peter then does. And Peter took him. The word used there literally means took him aside. Peter maybe took Jesus by the arm and took him aside away from the other disciples, where outside of their hearing, it's just now Peter and Jesus, they have this private conversation, and Peter rebukes him. I wonder what Peter said. Well, we actually know, because his exact words are recorded by Matthew in chapter 16 and verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And that's when Jesus turned to him and said, Get thee behind me, Satan. Wouldn't you like to have a private conversation with the Lord? Take him aside. Well, that's what prayer is. And I think we need to think of prayer as that being, I need to have a private conversation with the Lord. Sometimes it's open, it's in public, as the disciples would talk to him in public, but Peter took him aside and had a private conversation with him. Every time we pray, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. The Bible teaches the priesthood of the believer. You don't need to ask someone else to pray to him for you. You can take him aside and you can talk with him. But now, Even more so, wouldn't you at times like to take the Lord aside and question him about his plans for your life? Wouldn't you like to take him aside and question him about what's happening in our world right now? About what's happening in our nation? Perhaps something that's happening in your family? Perhaps something that's in your own life? And take him and ask him about that? That's what Peter's doing. But Peter does it in such a way where he says, Lord, this is not going to happen to you. Here's God's will for Jesus Christ, for him to go to the cross. And Peter says, no way. He is literally standing against the will of God. So Peter began to rebuke him. Peter questioned Jesus about his plans out of seeming concern for the welfare of Jesus. And yet it was really concerned about Peter's own welfare, because whatever happened to the Lord Jesus would affect him. Jesus' reply in verse 33 cuts Peter off before he can end speaking. How do we know that? Because look at what it says in verse 32. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Jesus cuts him off. It indicates that Peter would have kept lecturing Jesus if Jesus didn't cut him off. Notice what Jesus says in verse 33. And this is how we know that Peter's own interests are foremost in his mind. Jesus says, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. In other words, Peter, you are not setting your mind, that's the word savorest, you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on your own interests. Here's the comment of Edmund Hebert, the commentator on this passage. And this is where I get the title of this message. In Peter's effort to dissuade him from the cross, Jesus recognized the repetition of the wilderness temptation. Peter had made himself an unwitting agent of Satan. I would dare say there's not a person here today who would want to be an agent of Satan. You would never intend that. I would dare say that Peter never intended for that to happen. And yet, out of ignorance, an ignorance for which he was responsible, out of his own ignorance, he became an agent of Satan. And we too can be an unwitting agent of Satan. How? By praying outside of the will of God. How are we instructed to pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Once I become more interested in my will on earth, I can become an unwitting agent of Satan. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, he heareth us. I left something out. Let me read it again. Dolores got it. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. John 15:7, if ye, Jesus is saying this, abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. But here's how we often think of this verse. We can ask what we will and it will be done unto us. We skip the first part. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if we are truly abiding in him and his word is abiding in us, we will ask things according to his will. We would not do as Peter does here. Peter here is obviously not abiding in Christ. He is outside by what he says. Peter was not minding the things that be of God. He was minding the things that be of men. For thou savorest not the things that be of God. Peter, your mind is not set on the things of God. Peter, you are not intent on the things of God. You are intent on the things of man. Peter was savoring the things that be of men. It takes work. It takes faith sometimes to see what Jesus is doing, what the Lord is doing in our life. And Jesus had to constantly rebuke his disciples for not understanding. Same chapter here in Mark. Go back to verse 17. When Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened?" Jesus had to rebuke them for not understanding. Look at verse 21. And he said unto them, "How is it that ye do not understand?" Not taking into account what they had seen with their own eyes and heard with their own ears, as he said in verse 18. Then Jesus, in verses 19 to 21, reminds them of what they had already witnessed. "I break the five loaves among the 5,000. How many baskets did you get?" They said, 12. "And the seven among the 4,000. How many baskets?" They said, 7. He said unto them, "How is it you don't understand?" They were responsible for what he had shown them. They were responsible for what they had seen. True faith is not necessarily knowing how God will take care of you, but that he will take care of you. I want to repeat that. True faith is not necessarily knowing how God will take care of you. It's knowing that he will. That's true faith. It's possible for even a believer, it's possible for one of us, it's possible for a lot of us to be an unwitting agent of Satan. Peter was. Our first obligation in talking to the Lord is taking into account the things that he has already told us. Just like he'd already told Peter, "Son of Man's going to be crucified." "No, not so, Lord." "No, Peter, now that the Lord has told you that, you are responsible to accept what he said and by faith act on it." And so when we pray in our talking to the Lord, we need to take into account those things that he has already said. How do you know what he's already said? You've got it in your hands. We need to discern the will of God according to Scripture. But sometimes you say God's will is not stated explicitly. Then it is necessary for you to determine how to pray according to the will of God with what you do know. God's will is stated explicitly in his word, just as Jesus' will was stated explicitly to all the disciples in this passage, but Peter didn't like it. And sometimes we don't either. It's no accident, then, in what Jesus says at the end of this chapter. Let's read that as we close. Verse 34. And when he called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Have you ever read these verses with the previous verses in mind after Jesus had just rebuked Peter and then says, "Now, if you're going to follow me, Peter, you don't like that I'm going to go to the cross. Listen, if you're going to follow me, you've got to be willing to go to the cross, just like I'm about to go to the cross." Are you an unwitting agent of Satan?